Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Welcome, everyone, to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Brent Smith alongside Shane Stensny, and we're going to bring you all the information headed into the 2026 season.
Yeah, kind of hard to believe that the new season, the 2026 season of Amsoil Champ Off-Road presented by Brunt is upon us. A quick note, usually, past years we've had these podcasts out a couple of weeks ago. It's been a little bit of a wild off-season for yours truly, so I'm still kind of in the middle of my second time moving since the end of last season. That's why we made you all wait a little extra time for the first episode to come out. We'll have two out before Wheatland, and then it's off to the races, so to speak, if you'll excuse my pun.
Yeah, Shane, just to say the least of how long the offseason's been, you've been busy. We've all been trying to focus, getting ready for the new season. I mean, a lot going on. Some drivers bumping up classes, some drivers trying to defend their titles and go after a new title. I mean, I cannot wait to get this year going because it's off-road racing.
This part of the year, this lead up to the opening rounds, is always super exciting. You and I have had discussions about the way that the storylines of a season work. You know, every race, between the green and the checkers is its own story, but then each weekend is kind of a story. Each season is its own story for every class, for every driver. And man, it's so fascinating to follow those stories as they develop. And, you know, for the two of us, like I said, if you'll indulge me for a minute, Brent, I'm going to be a little sentimental here, but the tough off season I've had, I've done some reflecting on what's important to me. And man, it's like truly a privilege to be part of Champ Off-Road and be able to tell the stories of our racers. And I know I can speak for you and say that you feel the same way. So yeah, I'm excited that it's the calendar is turned over and round one is just a couple days away now.
Yeah, it's a fresh cookie sheet going into the year, and it's great to have you back. I mean, California was just outrageous, the people that we had that showed up. Now we're going back there once again. It just gets my blood flowing in a great way. I mean, this is what we live for, Shane, and everyone out there listening. I mean, it's not an easy offseason for off-road nuts like us, because that's all we want is to show up and get to broadcast the best sport in the world, and we're going to get to see it once again. And I know a lot of teams have been trying so hard to upgrade their programs, maintain their programs. And we all know with the price of fuel, the price of the economy, everything that goes on is really expensive. And we're just glad to have them all back as well.
Oh, for sure. And you could probably speak to that better than I do. You're sort of the beat reporter type. You're constantly talking to all kinds of different drivers, sportsmen and pro. What kind of sense do you get for like a vibe check, I guess? How are the vibes feeling as Wheatland is literally 1 week away as we're recording?
Man, the vibes, they're there. I mean, you go to your normal drivers throughout the year and you maintain and watch the champions, watch the guys and gals that are running up towards the front and watch in the mid pack too. I mean, the vibes are there. They're trying to do better each and every time. It's not easy. I mean, coming from my brother and I, we try each and every year to just get out there. I can't imagine trying to put together a whole program for the whole season and still put a smile on your face. And I mean, we've seen record amount of drivers that have been in our series.
Right.
It keeps on building. And I think we're going to see that. Maybe not so much in Wheatland. It's a long tow, but you watch. We're going to surprise a lot of people with the numbers we're going to show up with.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think, to speak broadly, both the series and the sport as a whole is trending all in the right direction. You look at the number of regional short course series that have popped up on the West Coast and all the side-by-side series that are constantly popping up and doing really well, especially in the southern states and, the Ohio River Valley down that area. And on that note, some of the big headlines for Champ Off-Road specifically, even over the past couple of days, has been a bunch of announcements of both class sponsors and just partners, some new and some returning, that have signed on for 2026. Chevrolet back to support Pro Spec and supporting Pro Light.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. The drivers from those classes were really excited to see that, a little bit of extra money on the line for them. Speedworks, a longtime supplier of parts to all of our side-by-side divisions. They're going to sponsor Pro-Am Side-by-Side. Race Driven, that's a name that's really well-known in short course off-road. They're sponsoring the Sportsman side-by-side class. Wilwood Brakes, that's a new one. They're going to support Pro-Am Turbo side-by-side, a class that was brand new last year. Combat Clean, another brand new partner, Pro Light, and the 170 side-by-sides, which is awesome. We love our youth racers just as much as we love our pros. Hoosier, Yokohama, Maxxis, Can-Am, they're all back for 2026. And, you know, you mentioned that we're making this same schedule that we had last year, more or less. By the way, Glen Helen Off-Road National, in case you missed the news, we pushed it back a week. It's now October 2nd and 3rd, 2026. So still at the end of the year, just one extra week between World Championship weekend and at Crandon and then the finale at Glen Helen. Anyways, all that being said, like I said, it's a great sign that we can, you know, the expanded schedule last year was a success. Obviously, Wheatland had some weather challenges, but going out to Glen Helen, Champ Off-Road's first trip to the West Coast was a smashing success. You got to see it firsthand. It's all signs of a really healthy sport that we've kind of cultivated here. Right. Yeah, dive into that a little more, too, because I know that you told me, you know, the couple times that we talked on the phone while you were out there and I was stuck back here at home, you were running into not just drivers and, you know, former drivers or drivers who scaled back their programs over the last couple of years, but even just talking to some of the fans that you talked to, you said people were just like ecstatic to have short course off-road back out there in California again.
Yeah, they were just excited. I mean, you just see the eyes on these people. They're just like, wow, that's what it used to be like. And now that we brought it out west, they can get back into that feeling, that racing momentum of off-road racing. Granted, we love our side-by-sides. We love those series that are around the Midwest and out west. But when we can bring our series out west and make it happen and make it a positive push towards our series, we're going to take any bit we can. And I mean, even the new owners out west, they're just like, man, you guys got to keep coming back. It was amazing to see that many people in the stands for one weekend. And Shane, just being out there, Nolan and I were just kept staring out the window going, this is how it should be every weekend, because this is what our racers deserve. They deserve to have these people come out of the woodwork and show up and just feel it that one time. That's all you need, is to give a person that loves motorsports one time at our event. And I think they're going to bring 10, 12 people with them. That's what they were talking about. Like, man, we're going to tell our friends and family. I'm like, that's what you need to do. I mean, I ran into people in California that knew people back in the Midwest that haven't been in the Midwest ever to watch a race. I'm like, you guys need to come out to Crandon and Bark River. We're coming out to you.
Right. Yeah. Get those people. You know, we know a handful of people that travel everywhere the series goes already. So yeah, definitely seems like we're primed to capture some more of those diehard fans too. And you probably know this even better than I do, but for the devotion of the fans, the level to which fans follow short course, it's pretty unmatched across other motorsports. Short course doesn't seem to have a whole lot of casual fans. It's people that follow it year round, just like you and I do, and people that live, eat, and breathe it, and you know, go to battle online for their favorite drivers, and are constantly sharing other drivers' posts. Like, we have a really great fan base.
Oh yeah, we could put anything on Facebook and mention a battle or who's going to win the championship or who do you think you're, who's your pick going into this year, and we'll have 50, 60 people bounce off another 80, 90 people about one driver and who's their favorite driver. So it's like, it's good competition. Bench racing, I always say, is the best. You get your people talking about what they want to talk about. But at the end of the day, when the gloves come off and they have to put it down and show their talent and show their experiences and their work ethic that got them there. That's the best part. I love when a guy or gal can go out there, build their own car, and go out and win. That just means the most to me. And I think we see most of that in short course. You don't see big builders building the whole team and somebody show up and drive. A lot of these drivers are building their equipment and getting out there and running it and performing. The late Kyle LeDuc always said, Brent, the day you can build your own truck, go out there and win, that's when you really let it all sink in and be like, man, it's not that I just did it. There's no I in team, but it takes a special person to get everything done and win.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So let's change gears a little bit. We can talk about how much we love our fans, you know, for a couple hours, and I'm sure the fans would enjoy that as much as you and I would. But looking at what I think is the top story in Champ Off-Road, especially if you're looking at the pro ranks, it affects three of the seven pro classes that we have. CJ Greaves, a couple of weeks ago on his social channels, announced that he had to have knee surgery. Kind of an unexpected issue popped up. He knew that he was getting some knee issues cleaned up a little bit, went under the knife, and they found that his knee actually needed a little bit more help. So he's going to be sidelined at least for Wheatland and Antigo, the first two events of the season. And Kyle Greaves gets the call again to fill in Pro 4. And how about this? Robert Loire is going to jump into CJ's seat for Pro Stock and Pro Side-by-Side.
That is awesome. That's so cool to see our sport. They bounce off of one another, especially Kyle Greaves getting another shot in Pro 4. I mean, he was getting really comfortable when he ran that truck the last time, and now he's going to be in a different truck, but a Greaves chassis. And yep. I'm telling you, he'll do a great job. And it's cool that CJ's allowing that to happen. And for CJ to sit out, it's a bummer for anybody in the sport, right? You want to see the best of the best out there all the time. And as of right now, CJ Greaves is above and beyond just about any short course racer out there.
Yeah, and you and I know how competitive CJ is. You don't become a 10-time Pro 4 champ by being passive about the way you go out and compete, but you got to figure it's got to be weighing on him a lot that he's sidelined for a couple events, right?
Oh, yeah. You go talk to him, I'm sure you can hear it in his voice and how he's bummed he can't drive, right? He loves to drive race cars, but sometimes you need to take a step back to help your future out. And, you know, CJ don't want to be the age of his father, 60s, and trying to just walk, right? I mean, he's done enough in the sport. He ran his motocross and supercross days, and now he's got to take care of his own body. And for him to sit out, I mean, what else is there out there for him to win 11th championship?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of pull for him.
For what it's worth, having Kyle fill in for him, he very well could be in line to pick up number 11 when it's all said and done.
Oh, for sure. They're not going to lose anything on the driving style wise. And, you know, Kyle's going to put 120% in. So, yeah, now that you say that, we'll be watching at the end of the year and probably seeing that truck right on the top spot.
The under the radar side of that, Robert Loire coming in for the two side-by-side classes. That's a guy that's won races in Champ Off-Road and Pro Stock before. I mean, Loire can get in a side-by-side and absolutely drive the wheels off that thing. Kind of the same story. We'll talk more in depth about those classes, but, you know, Owen Van Epperen, who swept the two pro side-by-side classes last year, not running full-time this year. CJ probably becomes the favorite to compete for a title in Owen's place there. And having Robert Loire be able to come off the bench and step in, the jump from CJ to Robert Loire driving a side-by-side is pretty minimal. That's two really talented guys.
Right, and Robert's probably going to get in his car and be like, oh, man, like, this is a nice piece, right? He's always driven great equipment, but anytime you can get in a Greaves car, I mean, just the technology behind it and the geometry, what they do to make them work, it's going to make Robert a better driver as well. So not saying his equipment wasn't good enough, but anytime you get an opportunity to drive good stuff, you better sign your name on the paper. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, why don't we dive into the pro classes? You know, we do still love our sportsmen as much as ever. We'll have Nolan on the next episode, and we'll dive into kind of the sportsman headlines in the lead up to the opening rounds down at the Show Me Off-Road Shootout. But let's talk about some pro stuff. Let's talk pro buggy. I think along the way, too, it'll be kind of a fun exercise to make sure we give some love to the drivers that fell just short last year and look at the opportunity they have to take the top spot this year. Starting with pro buggy, Jaden Minder is your champion from a year ago. you'll remember at Glen Helen, he said that there was some talk about jumping into Pro Light for 2026. Doesn't look like that's what he ultimately decided. So I think he'll be back to defend his title. Jordan Bernlohr and Billy Booth, they fell just short when it all settled at the end of the year. 36 points, Bernlohr was trailing by. Billy Booth was 45 back at Minder. But if you'll remember, coming into Crandon for round 13, so with three rounds left, that top three was 2 points apart. That's how close it was that deep into the season. So it was really anybody's game. And then Billy Booth, Jordan Bernlohr both ran into some bad luck at Crandon, and the wheels kind of came off at that point. Looking back at Wheatland a year ago, by the way, Minder was the winner in the opening round. And do you remember who won in round two at Wheatland?
It's cool to see this man right here, Michael Meister, going to run a full season.
Michael Meister was the round two winner, and he's back full time. He just announced that on his social media channels just a couple days ago, or a little over a week ago. A couple other news and notes on the Pro Buggy class. Chase Gehrer, who has steadily improved. He was running an old Probst car. He picked up a much newer chassis over this offseason. Ended his season towards the end of the season, finished on a high note, had his season best finish at Crandon at the World Championship round. He was already down in Wheatland to test. And then a couple of our good friends from the 1600 buggy class, Ryan Modinger and Bo Ambos, both making the jump to Pro Buggy. Kind of like we saw last year, there's so much talent in this class. But when you look at those three drivers that finished top three in the standings, seems like we're set up, especially with the addition of Michael Meister, we're set up for a really good title fight. That's not even to mention the guys like Tony Keepers and Mark Aristine Steinhardt, who are certainly going to be really strong finishers throughout the season.
Oh, yeah. I just love watching this Pro Buggy division, because just the growth of the class has just been phenomenal the last 5-6 years. And anytime we can call these races, you'd never know who's going to win any given time. Anytime you let Michael Meister get out front, well, it's hard to lasso him to get him back in your place, because when he's locked and loaded and shows up for a weekend, you know he's one to watch. But just having Chase back in a newer car, I mean, that's going to be huge. I mean, he had that season best run at Crandon, but he's looking to win races, right? Ryan Modinger moving up a class. It's cool to see. I mean, we always talk about the age in the sport and where kids are nowadays and how great they do at such a young age. But to have like veteran drivers coming back and still moving up late in their career, I think that's awesome. I really do.
Yeah, and Modinger and Ambos both, throughout their careers in the other two buggy classes, Bo, the formerly of light buggy, then moved up to 1600. Those guys have both been really strong competitors in the limited cars. So it's going to be fun to see how they adapt. And like you said, that's a couple more really good seasoned veteran drivers. You know, they're not going to show up and be slow. They're going to be competitive.
Oh yeah. We know Bo very well, Shane. He's out to compete. And if he don't like what's going on, you're going to know it.
Well, the next class we'll talk about, maybe the people's favorite class, and that's Pro Spec. You know, you remember when the first Pro Spec truck was debuted not long ago by Ryan Beat, and then the next season there was four, sometimes five trucks, and now the amount of movement in that class, drivers that are doubling down on the class and have built new trucks for this year. I mean, Pro Spec is red hot right now.
Yeah, it's the class to watch. All winter I've been watching people's social media and just seeing what they're doing, and to see this class really build is awesome, because the Pro Light class is kind of like weeding itself out. It's not a cheap sport, we all know that, but to keep a Pro Light maintain and run at that level is just over the top. So we hope that Pro Light can build itself back up, but Pro Spec is the new Pro Light to me. I mean, the super stock truck guys are moving their way up into this division, giving them that stepping stone, which I think is huge. I love it. You see Draxton Schimmick, he's going to return. I watched some of his social media a couple weeks ago, and he was just bad fast in that truck again right away.
Yeah, looking back at last year, obviously, Thriller Wyatt Miller was the champion in 2025, finished 17 points ahead of Chris Vanden Ellison, and that was a title fight that literally came down to the final two rounds at Glen Helen. As it turned out, Miller just had a little bit better weekend out there on the West Coast than Chris Vanden Ellison did. Vanden Ellison is one of those guys that has a brand new truck. He got one built by Cole Mamer and his team over the offseason. already has some test laps at Wheatland with that brand new truck. Nick Visser, also a brand new truck, so he's fully committed to chasing that championship. You remember he had a little bit of a tumultuous season last year.
Oh, yeah.
And still rebounded, won a race later on in the year, won one at Glen Helen as well. So certainly we expect him to be a title contender. The champion from 2 years ago, Dylan Parsons, started last year with that huge crash at Wheatland. And it's really tough to start your season that way and remain competitive. It was a huge challenge for him to overcome last year, but you know, he's been in the lab all off season with Flying Dutchman off road. And I know that they're going to come back guns blazing to take another run at a title. And then you mentioned some of the young kids, Draxton Schimmick. We know he's fast. He was unbelievably fast for being a rookie last year. And Avery Hemmer, who won a race last year in her rookie season, her first full season in the class. By the way, she's the pro women's champ in AMSOIL Championship Snowcross from this past winter. So again, she's going to be just as competitive as anybody in this pro spec field.
Yeah, and driving year round is huge, right? In any other form of motorsports, I mean, just to be behind the wheel or behind the sled just helps out your thinking process, your driving ability, and where the lines develop. And Avery Hemmer, she is going to be one scary person to watch this summer and how fast she's going to be.
Some interesting fresh blood in the class, too. You mentioned a driver coming in from Super Stock Truck, Braden Beauchamp. He's going to be making his pro debut. That truck that they have was Scott's old Pro Light. They had Mikey and the guys at Flying Dutchman Off-Road converted over to a pro spec. I know that Braden's super excited to get out there and mix it up with the established guys in the class. Plus, Wes Vandervoort and Lincoln Monsager, both from Modkart, are going to be making their pro spec debut at some point this year. It doesn't look like they'll be running a full season, but we expect to see them in the field at some point. Again, that's more really talented, seasoned racers that are getting their feet into the pro ranks through this pro spec class.
Yeah, and at such a young age, Shane, and that's so cool to see the longevity of the sport just keeps building, and I love it. And to see Braden,
you mentioned the young age. Out of the three of them, Braden's the oldest by a long shot, and he's what, 22?
Yeah, I believe Braden's 22. And to speak more on Braden, I mean, he is a well-known driver in the sport. He's won so much in Super Stock Truck, and this is what he needs to make that stepping stone. This is the class to be in. If you want to be in a little truck in the pro spec ranks, I mean, you can just name half of these drivers. I mean, you can pick them at any given time. And granted, Wyatt Miller is going to be tough. Brand new truck once again. He's not going to hold anything back. He's running just about everything in the off season. So it's going to be a challenge for all these new drivers as well as these veteran drivers in this sport. I mean, Visser's going to be tough, like you said, as well as Parsons. So I'm looking for big things in this class once again. I'm excited.
If you had to make your pick, Wyatt Miller against the field for the championship this year, who's your pick? You think Miller can repeat, or do you think it's going to be one of those other drivers?
I'd have to lean towards Miller repeating, but just to look at Visser and Vandenelson and coming out with a new truck, both of those guys, Dustin Pence now getting his feet really, really wet into this truck division again. And I'm telling you, that's scary. These guys behind the scenes aren't getting enough credit for what they're building these guys to drive. And I think we're going to see the competition level at an all-time high, but at the same time, you got to stop that thriller Wyatt Miller. I promise you that.
I think this is going to be the kind of there's going to be such a level of parity in pro spec that we might go maybe into the first Crandon weekend, the third, you know, rounds 5 and 6 before we see a repeat winner. I think it's going to be that competitive.
Yeah, man, it's going to be very competitive. I like your thoughts on that. And I guarantee you, we're going to be watching a lot of different winners this year in this class and not counting out the newbies either. I guarantee you they'll get what they need done earlier in the year. And we're going to see some great, great racing. And who knows how many trucks we'll have in this field.
Yeah, I mean, based on the movement and the amount of drivers who, you know, Chris Vandenelson sold his truck to a driver who I don't think is going to be old enough to race this year. But, you know, trucks are moving and there's, like we were talking about, there's that interest in new blood coming into short course or coming from other regional series in the short course off-road world that they've got their eyes set on pro spec. So you know, we were talking at the banquet a couple months ago that by the end of the year, you might see high teens for truck count, 16, 18. Yeah. Some people were really confident saying we got a shot at 20 trucks by the end of the year. And that's going to be, I mean, the amount of great racing they put on last year with, you know, 10 to 12 trucks. Imagine 20 of those trucks. Come on, man.
Oof.
It's going to be like nuts.
Like I said to you earlier today, it's going to be crazy to watch fifth, sixth, and seventh in some of these divisions because the talent's going to be there. The trucks are going to be there, and it's going to be interesting.
It'll be like light buggy where no matter where you are on the racetrack, you're fighting tooth and nail to try to gain one more spot.
Right. Fenders are going to be optional, I promise.
Well, you know, that class, we talk about how competitive it is. A points battle from last year that was pretty well not competitive, especially going to the later parts of the year. Pro Stock side by side, Owen Van Eppren absolutely dominant. This will give you a sense of it. So we talked about in Pro Spec that was a 17 point margin at the end of the year. Pro Buggy was 36 points. In Pro Stock side by side, Owen Van Eppren was the champion. David Gay and Jeb Boodle were the only drivers within 200 points, not within 100. They were about 160 points back. But they were the only two drivers within 200 points. You get 50 points for a win. Had the season gone on longer, Owen could have taken a whole weekend off and come out with a points lead. That's how not close it was when the dust settled on Pro Stock. But like we said, Owen not racing, at least not full-time this year. Yamaha no longer is producing the YXE platform, and they don't have a factory short course program anymore. So the future for Owen and Rodney a little bit up in the air. Although they do have plans to stay in short course. David Gay and Jeb Boodle, by the way, finished first and second in that final round. That was David Gay's first win on the pro level. And as we mentioned, CJ's out for at least the first two weekends with Robert Loire stepping into the seat. That opens the door for a lot of the other drivers who have had kind of intermittent success in pro stock, but maybe haven't found the consistency that they've looked for to this point. I'm thinking of guys like Cross Kirchmeier, the only Honda in the field, who's had a couple podium finishes, including some at Wheatland last year. Colton Krajicek, another driver who's been really fast, won that race in the pro side-by-side, the turbo class out at Glen Helen. Jake Kosmecki, another guy who's been on the podium a couple times, and again, just the consistency has been a little bit harder to come by. And then there's some fun new names coming out of the sportsman ranks. Cody Jones and Ben Heiting both jumping into pro stock for this year.
Wow.
But all those drivers, I think, have a really great opportunity to, you know, make a run at this championship, even the guys who haven't finished maybe in the top four or five in the points yet.
Yeah, it's going to be up in the air. Whoever is going to get the job done has the best luck on their side, prepping the cars right all season long, and you still got to drive them, right? But I was just thinking, all these times you're talking about CJ Greaves being out these first two rounds or two weekends, and if I was a driver in the class, yeah, you want to beat the best, right, to be the best. But at the same time, like you said, it opens up a couple of these classes to start the year where maybe they can have a couple good weekends where even if CJ comes back, it's still going to be tough for him to come back. I mean, you can't count out CJ, but at the same time, it's kind of maybe a little breath of fresh air for some of these other competitors.
Right, and I think, you know, even last year showed that, you know, because CJ is CJ. He is really tough to beat, but he kind of got it handed to him, especially in pro stock last year. You know, I think the playing field is the talent level and the level of the equipment is a little bit more equal across pro stock and pro side by side that we'll talk about in a little bit, where, you know, even CJ being CJ, I don't think he's going to run away with anything in pro stock.
No, and you know, if CJ's out there listening, it's like we always give him a hard time, but he is one of the best that's ever stepped behind the wheel of a short course car or truck. And at the same time, it's, you know, he's not there, so you got to move forward. And when he comes back, right, we might put our own foot in our mouth, but it's CJ Greaves. No matter what you say, he's going to be there in the end. And for him to take a couple weekends off, like Cross Kirchmeier, I mean, David Gay, Boodle, all them guys, they want CJ to be out there, but that's going to create another crazy set of battles the first two weekends.
We've seen other drivers in past years, even, you know, last year, David Gay making the jump from Pro-Am up to the Pro Stock class. How do you think those two new guys that I mentioned, Cody Jones and Ben Heiting, will be able to make that adjustment, because it's a big jump. I mean, David Gay was dominant in 2024 in Pro-Am, and then came in and it was kind of a, you know, for the first couple of weekends, kind of a mid-pack, top 10 level car. It took him a while to get up to speed. Do you think that we should expect the same out of Cody Jones and Ben Heiting?
Well, it's a challenge, right? I mean, we don't get a lot of testing before the first race. I mean, especially if you live in the Midwest. And I know Ben Heiting's probably ripped around the property a couple different times. So is Cody Jones. But they're proven drivers. They know how to win. They know how to be on the podium. And they just got to grab that confidence and move into the new class and try their best. Not saying they're not going to do good, but it might take them a couple weekends. But I hope the heck that they surprise us both, right? We want to see more guys battling it out in that top five. And I think they're going to I know they're going to have great equipment. It's just right. How quickly they can adapt to their own car.
Well, the next class we'll talk about, you know, you mentioned this a little bit earlier talking about Pro Spec, but Pro Light is going to be a little on the smallish side again this year. Kind of the headline story out of Pro Light is that Johnny Holscher, who was the champion last year in 2025, he's now done in Pro Light. There was a Facebook post from his mom, Jen, just a couple days ago saying that focus now is Pro 2 and Pro 4 for Johnny. Had a great season last year, finished 42 points ahead of Connor Berry, who is coming back to race Pro Light here in Champ Off Road. But behind Connor Berry, who was kind of the only one close when the dust settled, I guess the question becomes, who's kind of the next person to put the pressure there? Is going to be Matt Wood, who has a career, you know, one career win in Pro Light, but has been close a whole bunch of times? Or will it be Michael Funk, who also has been close to winning a bunch of times? Or will it be maybe Joey Machosik, who ended his year with that really spirited run holding off Johnny Holscher in the final round at Glen Helen?
Yeah, it's anybody's game this year. I mean, there's not a lot of trucks, but the trucks that we have are going to be very competitive. Connor Berry's going to be one guy that you're going to be seeing up front all year long, guaranteed. You've seen what he did when Johnny Holscher was running against him. They just swapped back and forth. Matt Wood, that one career win, I know it's just haunting him right now. He has a lot more wins up his sleeve. He's very good at what he does. He's got a quick truck. Michael Funk, he's coming in with a lot of confidence. Ran out west this winter a couple times. And Joey Machosik, he's going to be there as well. He put it up on the podium multiple times. And I guarantee we'll see some great 2-3 truck battles. It's a bummer that the growth of Pro Light isn't really there right now. But Johnny Holscher really needed to move up. He was in Pro Light quite a while. He did what he needed to do, prove that he could win and win championships, and now he's moving to Pro 2, Pro 4, so that'll give Michael Funk, Joey Machosik, Matt Wood, and then Marcus Catlin, new to the Pro Light class, an opportunity to get on that podium and show their face and try to build their programs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Travis Milhausen Jr. also going to be part of the Pro Light class this year, and I should have mentioned him and that group of drivers, because it seems like, especially over the last couple of years, he's really started to figure it out and has had a couple really dominant runs in the Pro Light class.
Oh yeah, Travis Milhausen Jr., he's awesome. He's fun to race against. He's aggressive. He don't care. He'll put a bumper on you, put a fender on you. He wants to win.
So he's a real Pro Light racer, you're saying?
Yeah, that's what you want, right? You want the guys and the gals to go out there and give it their all, and that's what you get out of Milhausen. He don't care if there's panels left at the end of the day, and if that truck lasts, it'll be up on top of the box, and he's shown he can win as well. So I expect big things out of him and his team as well in Pro 2. I've seen him ripping around their shop, getting that thing all dialed in. So it's going to be a fun-filled year for him.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, Marcus Catlin moving over from Pro Stock side-by-side. It's cool to see the pipeline. You know, he started in Sportsman side-by-side a couple of years ago, so it's cool to see that pipeline is still working for some drivers to kind of work your way up through the ranks in the side-by-sides, and then a lot of those drivers, they still see the trucks as kind of the ultimate destination. So really exciting for him to jump in and mix it up with all those other drivers that we had talked about.
Yeah, he's in a Milhausen backup truck from last year. So he's got a good piece. So it'll be cool to watch him learn. He's not a guy that tells you he's going to go out there and spank the field. He's honest. He'll tell you that he's going to just get used to the truck and get up to speed. And it's cool. I want to see these side-by-side guys and gals move up into the trucks. We need numbers. We need truck count. It's not cheap, but man, we have a lot of side-by-sides with a lot of potential to move in to our truck divisions.
And like you said, you know, ProLite, even when the fields are a little on the smaller side, still no shortage of fireworks. It's still, you know, even if it's eight trucks, it's an eight-person cage match, basically, on the racetrack.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're going to get us going up in the booth. They're not afraid to throw the gloves off at any given time, and that's what I love about it. And to drive a ProLite myself, it's just so crazy to think when they're just punching each other back and forth, uppercuts, yeah. And you're only in a 68-inch wide ProLite. It's like, lay off a little bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The drivers who have mastered driving a ProLite, they know how to go out there and put on a show and perform. And I'll tell you, if you love power and you love performance and saving money, you should sign up to be an AMSOIL preferred customer. You could save up to 25% on AMSOIL products and receive free shipping directly to your doorstep. Visit AMSOIL.com and sign up today. And we thank AMSOIL for their ongoing support of the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL. Well, another class that's been really, really competitive and has just a glut of talent over the last couple of years, pro side-by-side. Again, the champion last year, Owen Van Epperen, not running full-time this year. Jeb Boodle was 43 points back when the season finished. And again, like we said, CJ is out, Robert Loire in for at least the first two weekends. I think this class, you know, we talk about the talent that has been in this class, guys like Kyle Chaney, Andrew Carlson, drivers who have won and done really well in this class and in other classes and in other disciplines of racing. But there's a few drivers in this class who, for my money, really started to show what they're made of towards the end of last year. I'm thinking of Nathan Wolf, who seemed to constantly be like a fifth, sixth place driver. He finally got onto the podium at Bark River. You know, that's a big moment for him to get his first podium in Champ Off-Road. Ariel Byarski had her first podium in Champ Off-Road out at Glen Helen. And then Colton Krycek was a winner at Glen Helen in pro side-by-side. You know, Leland Tice finally recognized for his efforts last year as well. He was the Champ Resilience Award winner for 2025. That's kind of one of those awards that no driver wants to be in the position that they win that award, but it's nice to be recognized for your efforts. And certainly he's overcome a lot over the last couple of years, all kinds of bad luck, and keeps coming back and improving from one weekend to the next. And like I said, you've got those other heavy hitters, Carlson, Jack Letourneau, Colin Truitt, guys who have won races either in pro stock or pro side-by-side or elsewhere. Pro side-by-side feels like it's set up to be, especially with Owen gone, a really good title fight.
Yeah, once again, anytime you get that past champion that just dominated the field out of the class, it'll open up some eyes from the guys that are struggling just to make the podium. And I think we've seen last year at least five, six guys at any given time that could be right there. So, I mean, Byarski, she did a wonderful job. I look for big things for her to make it back up onto that podium. I mean, there's just no better feeling when you're working that hard to at least be in that top three each and every weekend, because that points run is a long, long season long, and you got to be there in the end, and you got to start it with a good weekend at Wheatland.
Yeah, and I think at least on paper, just like I said about Pro Spec, where we might get to Crandon maybe without seeing a repeat winner, pro side-by-side, especially with CJ out, who is kind of the presumptive favorite, I would say, given his resume already. Looking at all those other drivers, a whole bunch of guys that can win races, guys and gals that can win races. We could see the same kind of scenario where maybe no repeat winners for the first five rounds.
Yeah, that's what we'd love to see, right? It just makes you go back to the drawing board. You got to go back and dig a little deeper. When CJ or Owen are just dominating and they're checking out on the field, that's so mind-boggling to try to just focus on your own program. So I just think it'll make it a lot more competitive. Nothing against Owen or CJ, but these guys are really going to try to throw down the heat the first weekend so they can open right up that points gap as big as they can.
And again, Robert Loire jumping in the seat for CJ, not a big drop off in talent, and I'm sure
not at
the
all
success there.
No. We've been saying Loire's name a long, long time.
Well, let's talk about a class that you know a lot about for sure, Brent, Pro 2, and the defending champ coming back to defend his title, Keegan Kincaid. Finished 15 points ahead of Ryan Beat. Keegan's got a new partner on board for this year, the Mole Lake Casino and Lodge. So you know, the pressure is there to bring a new level of partnership from them into short course and perform for them. But, you know, we see a sliver of what Ryan Beat stays busy with throughout the offseason, constantly building, innovating, improving both on his trucks and on his program, you know, more broadly speaking. Both those guys are going to be right in the title fight. You know, Ricky G had a great finish to his year, finally getting that new truck exactly where he wants it, swept out at Glen Helen in his home state of California. You know, you've got Johnny Holter, who's been a winner in Pro 2. For me, the driver on the rise and the guy to watch, though, is Jacob Rosales, who really got quite a bit faster throughout last season.
Yeah, Rosales was tough that last day at Coran, and he was just phenomenal, getting up on the podium, just running out front and trying to catch Keaton Kincaid. And Ryan Beat were wicked fast that weekend, but he's showing that he's there. Mikey VandenHeuvel helping him out a lot. That truck actually stays at Mikey's, so they're always tweaking stuff in and out. Whatever they got to do to make him get faster, they're going to do. And I mean, Ricky G, he's the guy to watch. I mean, him coming off of that sweep just gives you so much confidence. I seen him testing earlier in the year. Keaton Kincaid with that new sponsorship that gives you that drive again, right? His last season was kind of an up and down roller coaster, but then at the end, he just put the stamp down. He's running that number one plate. He wants people to know that he is the defending champion. I don't think they're going to lose a heartbeat at all. They did a lot of new stuff. Talked to Bob Nash, been working in the shop a lot with him, and just Jeff Kincaid never stops thinking, right? Like, he's always doing something. Like Robert told me, when they wrecked at Bark River, when the truck was on the way back to Cran, and when by the time Robert got back to the shop, he was already talking about changing some geometry here, changing this here. And like Robert's like, I just want him to get the truck back together. And here he's trying to innovate a new truck.
Yeah, I remember Robert telling us that at Bark River, that Jeff was like on the way back to the shop in Argonne, called up Robert and said, hey, I got some ideas.
Unreal.
Never mind that the truck was just about twisted in half. How can we make this thing better?
Right. That don't scare Jeff Kincaid at all. He's not afraid of working. And talking to Bob the other day, he goes, yeah, we talk, me and Jeff, a lot. And it's crazy to have a guy at his age want to be in the shop 70, 80 hours a week. And Bob will bring up to him, man, you need to cut back a little bit, you know, and enjoy a little more. And he's like, this is all I know. You know, right. That's all he's ever known. Back in 89, when he quit his regular daytime job and went off-road racing, he never looked back. This is what they did to put food on the table their whole life.
Yeah, it's just wild. The contrast there is kind of funny too, because, you know, their careers intersected in a lot of ways as teammates, but Johnny Greaves, kind of the other side of the coin. You know, we've been laughing over the last couple of years at how often we see him during like the lead up to the season. You'd think when the most work would need to get done, and Johnny's fishing in Florida. he's cashing in all the vacation days he's earned. And, you know, on the other side of the coin is Jeff Kincaid, who just doesn't want to stop putting his hands on the truck at any point in time.
Yeah. And then you have Ryan Beat, which his brain never shuts off. He's moving shop to shop. Now he's back in North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, I got to chit chat with him the other day a little bit, and he's ready for this season. He got a chance to dive into Justin Willis's Pro 4, Paul Wolf's ride for this season, got to throw some laps down. He looks so smooth. I mean, being out of the truck 10 years in a Pro 4,
right.
I didn't think it would take much. It'd be a light switch for him, but just the innovating he's done over the years. And I remember when he first came in off-roads back in the Lucas Oil off-road days. I mean, he was just a guy showing up with a little box truck and some tools, and to see him develop what he's done for the sport and for everyone around him, that's just a huge accomplishment. And love or hate Ryan Beat, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do to build a program that is going to be legendary.
Yeah, he's the only driver that I know of in short course that has his own podcast, by the way. Impulse Media has a podcast that's, you know, belongs to Ryan Beat, so make sure you check that out as well. But yeah, like you said, just the amount of work that he puts into cultivating our sport. He's such a great ambassador to short course in general, and has been for such a long time. And it's fantastic to have him not only doing all that work, but again, doing the work, like you said, innovating on trucks and bringing in new drivers, new talent to race under his awning. Yeah, certainly we appreciate everything that Ryan Beat does. Quick sidebar here. You mentioned, and I was aware of this already, but Keegan is going to run the number one plate. What are your feelings on that? I think it's a curse. I don't know that I've ever seen it really work out for a driver in short course. Maybe you feel differently. Well, I know it's an honor to earn that right, but how do you really feel about switching to number one?
Yeah, it's an honor, right? It is an honor, but it's like when
you get the red plate no matter what. You don't have to run number one.
Right.
And there's drivers that won't touch it. They refuse.
And I'm with them on that. You know, it's like bad luck, good luck, whatever it creates. I mean, Keegan, I think, is just going to stab it right in the eye and just do what he needs to do and just
make his own
number
luck.
One or number four. Yeah, he's going to recreate that number one, I believe. And if you ask me, I'd rather not run it, but I've never been in that situation, right? Like if I won a championship at that level, I believe I would come back and throw that number one plate and show people that, hey, we are the champions and we didn't miss a beat in the off season. Yeah, granted, he changed title sponsors, but it was for the better. I believe it was. The Mole Casino and Lodge just love off-road racing.
I have a sidebar to my sidebar here. We're getting into the rabbit hole a little bit, but how do you feel about the drivers who will clinch a championship before the final round and then show up after they've clinched with the red plate already on?
Ooh,
that I love. That's such a flex. I love that.
If you
have the kind of season where you can be the champion with racing still to go, if it's me, I'm putting champion in gold letters across the visor of the truck.
Hey, you do what you got to do, whatever you feel you need to do. And if you can back it up, I guess more power to you. I mean, Keegan's a phenomenal race car driver, a great human being, and a great fabricator. So, I mean, those guys at that level, like Greaves and the Kincaids and Leduc back in the day, and, I mean, you got anyone that wants to win at that level is going to try to flex their muscles a little bit. And I agree with you. At the end of the year, it's a little too much sometimes if you're some other driver in that class that you're just f***ed off.
You knew Kyle Leduc. You obviously knew Kyle Leduc quite a bit better than I did, but he would have been the guy to put the red plate on for the last race, right? If he already had it locked up. That seems like a Kyle Leduc kind of thing to do.
He would have had the truck wrapped in 99 reds. Boy, do we miss him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, on that note, let's talk about Pro 4, Kyle's old stomping grounds, the defending champ, the 10-time champ, maybe the greatest to ever drive a short course truck, CJ Greaves. We've already told you a couple times now, won't be in the truck at Wheatland and Antigo for sure as he recovers from knee surgery. Kyle Greaves gets the call again from the bullpen to fill in for the Johnny and CJ team at the Pro 4 level. CJ beat Jimmy Henderson last year by 48 points. But again, Jimmy Henderson's got Trad Ronfelt in his corner, and you talk to Trad off and on throughout the season. What has he cooked up this offseason? Because I know Trad hasn't been sitting on his hands for 6 months, right?
No, he was cutting that truck apart probably on their way back home because he's just crazy when it comes to refiguring out something that doesn't work. His innovation skills are just over the top. He learned that back in the day from when he worked with the Baldwins and when he worked with the other teams growing up through his career. But then when he locked on with Kyle, there was only one attitude and one way that Kyle ran is he wanted to win. So either you're here to build me trucks that win or we find something else. And Trad took those reins and picked them up. And at the end there, he was building the whole truck for Kyle and now building a full truck, his first ever one for Jimmy Henderson. Then I talked to him at the banquet and he's like, yeah, I cut the back half off. I'm like, of course you did. He's like, yeah, I just want to try something different. He's like, we'll be testing in a couple weeks. It wasn't no more than a week and a half. And he was testing on their home track. So, I mean, you never know what he's cooking up. He always is trying to make stuff better and perform better for Jimmy Henderson. And I expect big things out of them. I mean, they have a backup truck. They have everything in their pit that they need, including Trad. And I think they're going to be the ones to go after this championship even more this year because all their ducks are in a row.
I have to imagine that the fastest way to break Trad's heart would be for Jimmy to get to the end of a season and say, like, no, I think the truck is good. Let's just freshen it up and leave it as is.
He'd be like, no, it's not. You're driving it. But that's what you have to do. I mean, right. Then we look down, Mickey Thomas coming back in Pro 4. I mean, it was cool to see Husqvarna back in the field in the off-road racing, sponsoring him. I mean, he's going to be phenomenal. I mean, you go on his social media, just the way they prep and the way they take care of their everyday life, they're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think especially with CJ sidelined for a couple weekends, that's a huge opportunity for Mickey Thomas. You know, him and Adrian Chenny, it kind of seems like this is a great opportunity for them. How cool would it be to see Adrian competing for a title? You know, I'd be, you know, first in line to sign off on that. But yeah, talking about Mickey Thomas specifically, big opportunity for him in year two to not only show that they've kind of got the truck figured out and find that consistency, but man, when he was on last year, he was as fast as anybody. I remember Antigo when, you know, it looked like he was going to run away and win that race at Antigo. And then it just seems like small issues kept popping up throughout the rest of the year that held him back in one way or another.
Yeah, those gremlins will bite you, right? It's just to overcome those gremlins and have to move forward. I mean, Mickey Thomas, that speed is always there. Adrian Chenny, to touch what you were saying, I mean, it seems like when Adrian can win one or two races, he is one scary driver to watch because he gets that confidence and he can knock down a couple wins in a row if he's dialed in. So you never can throw out Adrian Chenny. He's been around a long, long time. And I just think it's going to open that Pro 4 class up, like you said, with CJ being out a little bit. No fading off with Kyle Greaves, I can guarantee you that. He's going to be in great equipment.
Right.
But I see we're going to have four or five trucks that are probably going to be right by each other the whole race.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the great equipment that comes out of the Greaves shop, they went to work, Brad Marty went to work before last year was done, right after Crandon. I think he already had a chassis up on the jig table and was posting pictures of it, hand-building the brand-new truck. And there was some mystery to that. A lot of drivers or a lot of fans thought, well, either CJ or Johnny's getting a new truck, or some other names got thrown around, or maybe it's a Pro 2 guy that's getting a truck. But nope, that chassis actually was for Paul Wolf. So he's going to be back in a brand new Greaves chassis for 2026.
How much do you think?
You know, I mean, we saw him, he dang near stole that one in Wheatland. I think that was in round one.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that was one of those Pro 4 races where every truck was broken in one way or another. And it looked like Paul Wolf was going to squeeze out a win over everybody else and just shock everybody with a new piece, because that was an older chassis. So with a new truck, you know, how much do you think he's going to factor? And the guy can drive. We see it in Ultra 4 all the time. He goes out and sweeps weekends across multiple classes in Ultra 4, rattles off win streaks like nobody's business on that side of things. He should be, at least on paper, able to contend for wins this year, right?
Well, yeah, we've all seen what Paul Wolf has done in his racing career. We know he can drive, like you said. He knows what to do with the truck. And at the same time, right, you're driving an older piece. Who knows how far off it was from what Greaves and them built them this time.
Right.
You know the new technology will be on this truck. So hopefully he can sit in this truck and be like, oh, man, this is what I was missing. Or it just could create him to be a better driver in the equipment he's in. So, I mean, I think it's only going to be going up from here with his program. And you've seen on social media that Ryan Beat was shaking down that truck at Wheatland. I think it was a couple days ago.
Yep.
And that, to me, is only going to help Paul Wolf, right? Like, yeah, granted, Ryan Beat hasn't raced a Pro 4 in 10 years, but to have a driver at his level be driving all the time and building trucks, designing them, he probably helped Paul Wolf out tremendously with notes giving back to him. Like, hey, you know, the truck should be doing this or it didn't do this. And who knows, it could have been perfect, but Paul will get that feedback from Ryan, just a little bit of laps that he ran.
Right. And I remember you and I had that conversation with Paul, I think in 2024, about how he was, you know, learning how to manage a Pro 4, both on the racetrack and setup wise. It was kind of like drinking from a fire hose, where you can recognize as a driver that there's so many things that aren't quite right with the truck, but you kind of have no baseline for, like, hey, which direction should I make this adjustment? And if I change the front suspension by 2%, how much is that going to affect everything else on the truck and learning all that, like the learning curve for, you know, any truck class is enormous, but Pro 4 especially, my goodness.
Well, yeah, and it's just a big learning curve. And I believe he will adapt to this new ride. And what he's doing right now is huge for our sport, from where he comes from and what he does on the Crannon Championship weekends. He just dominates in all his other form of sports. And I mean, those Ultra 4 trucks are one to watch, but then you put him in a Pro 4. I always said, it's just going to be a matter of time when it's just like, boom, it clicks and he's going to feel comfy.
Do you think it's a little bit boring to just drive a track like Wheatland when you're used to, you know, jumping off 20-foot tall rock walls and climbing up near vertical rock crevices?
Yeah, he probably feels like he's on a...
Does he get in the Pro 4 and he's like, oh, this is kind of relaxing on some level?
It probably is, right? Granted, to say a Pro 4 is relaxing, but at the same time, yeah.
We'll have to ask him about that.
There's jumps and rocks and bumps, but there's nothing compared to what they go through.
Yeah, I think, you know, to sum all that up, Pro 4, I think this time of year kind of opportunity is the word of the day, I guess. The underlying theme to all of this, you know, all those drivers we mentioned through all seven pro classes that we talked about, big opportunity. And like you said, so much rides on showing up at the opening round. And it's a cliche in racing that you can't win a race in turn one, but you can lose it for yourself. Looking at the season as a one broad unit, kind of the same thing. You want to do extremely well in the opener, but you also don't want to jeopardize your whole season by making one wrong move in round one, right?
You have to be patient, because as much as you want to win right away, you might put yourself in that bad situation to take yourself out, and you can't do that, especially earlier in the year. And guys like CJ Greaves and Owen Van Eppern that aren't going to make the opener races, those are the guys that are going to be like, all right, if those guys have this bad weekend, it only takes one good weekend to get back on. But if these guys and gals have two great weekends and they don't come back until the third weekend out, they could really build some big points for themselves and carry momentum.
Well, that'll just about do it for this first episode. As I mentioned at the top, we will have a second episode come out before, let's call it Wednesday, leading up to Wheatland. Of course, it's a tradition at this point. We'll have Nolan Castellian, our team historian and sportsman trackside reporter, on as a guest. He'll give us all his predictions for the year. We'll talk about a whole bunch of sportsman stuff. As much as you know that I get excited about pro racing, Brent, sportsman stuff, you know, you and I talked on the phone like 2 weeks ago, like Light Buggy is going to be awesome. I'm really excited for Light Buggy this year. I'm always excited for short course kart and mod kart and the 170s. The turnover year to year in youth racing is fascinating to see who is going to take a big jump coming into a new season. I'm excited to talk about all of that. We'll also talk about kind of who's in for Wheatland and who's not going to be there among some of our part-time drivers, break down the track a little bit, and my goodness, a week from now, we'll be in Wheatland. The off-season's done.
I know, and here we were complaining how many different months, like, where's the start of the year? Where's the start of the year? And now we're here. I mean, a week away, just, it's going to be so rambunctious and tough for these drivers. Yeah, to get going for the opening rounds. I mean, there's some people already traveling out there. I cannot wait.
Yeah, me neither. And like I said, look for episode 2 coming out in just a couple days. Have that for you, all the great sportsman info that you're craving. I know a lot of our fans are dyed in the wool, like we talked about, such loyal fans. They want to know what's going on the sportsman side as well. We'll fill you in on all that. But that is it for this one. He's Brent, I'm Shane. Thank you for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Perfect.